This morning's reading comes from the first book of Samuel, chapters 5 and 6. And it will be an abridged reading. 1 Samuel, chapter 5, starting at verse 1. After the Philistines had captured the Ark of God, they took it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. Then they carried the ark into Dagon's temple and set it beside Dagon. When the people of Ashdod rose early the next day, there was Dagon, fallen on his face on the ground before the ark of the Lord. They took Dagon and put him back in his place. But the following morning when they rose, there was Dagon, fallen on his face on the ground before the ark of the Lord. His head and hands had been broken off and were lying on the threshold. Only his body remained. That is why to this day neither the priests of Dagon nor any others who enter Dagon's temple at Ashdod step on the threshold. The Lord's hand was heavy upon the people of Ashdod and its vicinity. He brought devastation upon them and afflicted them with tumors. When the men of Ashdod saw what was happening, they said, "The ark of the God of Israel must not stay here with us, because his hand is heavy upon us and upon Dagon our God." And we take it up at chapter 6, verse 1. When the ark of the Lord had been in Philistine territory for 7 months, the Philistines called for the priests and the diviners and said, "What shall we do with the ark of the Lord? Tell us how we should send it back to its place." They answered, "If you return the ark of the God of Israel, do not send it away empty, but by all means send a guilt offering to him. Then you will be healed, and you will know why his hand has not been lifted from you." And again, moving to verse 10. They took two such cows and hitched them to the cart and penned up their calves. They placed the ark of the Lord on the cart, and along with it the chest containing the gold rats and the models of the tumors. Then the cows went straight up towards Beth Shemesh, keeping on the road and lowing all the way. They did not turn to the right or to the left. The rulers of the Philistines followed them as far as the borders of Beth Shemesh. Now when the people of Beth Shemesh were harvesting their wheat in the valley, and when they looked up and saw the ark, they rejoiced at the sight. The cart came to the field of Joshua of Beth Shemesh, and there it stopped beside a large rock. The people chopped up the wood of the cart and sacrificed the cows as a burnt offering to the Lord. The Levites took down the ark of the Lord together with the chest containing the gold objects and placed them on a large rock. On that day, the people of Beth Shemesh offered burnt offerings and made sacrifices to the Lord. The five rulers of the Philistines saw all this and then returned that same day to Ekron.
Well, today, as you know, is Remembrance Sunday, and we do remember people who have died and suffered in mainly the two world wars, but of course all the conflicts that we've been involved in this country and others throughout the world. Wars are dreadful things. Nations are often looking to expand territory, influence, power, and for those reasons, wars take place. It's actually no different in the story that we've just been hearing. Because the Philistines weren't locals, you know. They were living in Canaan. They weren't locals at all. The Philistines were known as the people of the sea, or the sea people. And they came probably from Crete. Nice place to live, but they didn't want to stay there, so they came over and they settled in the coastal strip along the west side of Israel, where, in fact, you know there is a strip there, the Gaza Strip is still there today, occupied territory by not by the Israelites, or the Israelis as they're called now. And they were forever going on at the Israelites, trying to push into their territory and gain land and gain power and gain influence. And this kept on for years and years and years. Last week, when Sid was talking to us, we saw how Israel, led by priests who were totally corrupt, had no regard for God whatsoever, totally disobedient to what he asked them to do, how they lost a battle against the Philistines. And then they had to take part in a second battle. So what did they do? They thought, aha, we have a secret weapon. We have a little wooden box covered in gold, known as the Ark of the Covenant, with two angel cherubim figures on the top. We'll take it into battle with us. That'll do the trick. They really thought it was some sort of lucky charm, lucky mascot. And we all know about those sort of things, don't we? Four-leaf clovers. How many of you have got a lucky pen? Or a lucky this? I mean, you're only going to ask Serena Williams, you know, the tennis player. She goes by lucky socks. She wears a pair of socks if she wins a game in a tournament. She wears them the next match and the next match. And I'm not sure whether she washes them in between or not. Didn't find that out. David Beckham. He always bought himself a new pair of boots before a match. Well, he could afford it, I suppose. But, you know, that was his superstitious thing. Taylor Swift. Now, most people here won't know who that is, but young ones will. Taylor Swift, number 13. That's her lucky number. She was born on the 13th, and everything that's happened to her is the 13th. If she sits, you know, to receive an award in a ceremony or anything like that, she always finds that, oh, I'm sitting on seat number 13, in row 13. That's her lucky thing. And John Terry, ex-football player, he always, always parked in the same car space and sat in the same seat on the team coach every time. And did it work? No. You can't trust on lucky mascots like that. And this is what the Israelites did. And of course, when the Philistines saw them coming in with this box of tricks, they were absolutely scared out of their wits. What's going to happen? They've got their lucky mascot. Help! They said to one another. And the leaders said, right, they've got their lucky mascot. We're going to have to try even harder than usual. And so they doubled their efforts in battle. And of course, they had a fantastic victory. Huge victory in this battle. And the Israelites didn't know what had hit them. And what's worse was that the Ark of the Covenant, the Philistines said, that's a good little box. We'll have that. And so they took it off as a trophy of war. And they set it up, as you heard, in the temple. In the temple in the big city of Ashdod. Five cities they had, the Philistines. Ashdod was one of the five big cities. And they had a temple to their god, Dagon. Now, as I said, they were sea people. S-E-A. I should probably, no, not yet, next, in a minute, move on to show you what he looked like, Dagon. You'll see him in a minute. But put it like this. He had a head and hands and arms, just like you and me. But his body wasn't quite the same. He was a bit like a merman. He was a fish. So, you know, big fish with a normal head and hands. That's what he looked like. And so they put the Ark of the Covenant down there in the temple, in front of his big statue, and off they went, had their night's sleep. And they came back the next morning, and what did they find? The statue had fallen on its face. In front of the Ark of the Covenant. Well, that was a bit peculiar. So they pushed it back up again, you know, got it set up again and said, oh, it'll be all right now. And off they went for another night's sleep, came back the next morning. It had fallen over again in front of the Ark of the Covenant. Not only had it fallen over, its head and its hands, the seat of its wisdom and its power, had fallen off and broken. So I think, let's have a look. Oh. What's happened to my order? There it is. Can you see his fish? Fish tail. Not much good at fish and chip night, but you can see his head and his hands have come off. Yeah? So that was the... Well, they were worried now. What does this mean? If it fell over in front of this box? So, they thought, something's happening here. And it was just the beginning, because all of a sudden, people started suffering from tumours. We're not sure quite what they were. It's not easy to find out. Someone has said it's hemorrhoids. But, you know, ask your mum and dad. Hemorrhoids, it could be hemorrhoids, tumours, something growing on the skin, something brought by rats. It does sound as though rats were involved. So it could have been a plaguey type thing. We don't really know what it was. But they started suffering from this, and many people started dying from this. And they went to the rulers. Now, I'm not sure that I'm going to be able to find this picture. That's not it. No, that's not it. Oh, perhaps that was it. Hang on a minute. No. Come back. Help! Keep going. Another one. No, it's not that one. It's the one with the Lego figures. Can you see the Lego figures? Not that. That's the one. Yeah, there we are. And they said to one another, we can't have this. We've got to do something about this wretched box of tricks. So they went to their rulers and said, please, take it away from here. We can't have it here. Take it away from Ashdod. And they thought hard and long and said, I know, we'll take it to Gath, another of our big cities. They can have it. And so off it went to Gath. And guess what happened? Exactly the same thing. They didn't have a temple to put it in. But people started getting these horrible skin things. Oh no, it's happened here as well. We'll have to get rid of it. So if we can go back to the map, John, I'll let you do that because I'm having no success. That's the one. You can see the path. Shiloh, on the top right there, that's where it started off in Israel. And then it went to battle at Ebenezer. Then it went down to Ashdod, down the bottom left-hand corner there. And now it's got to Gath. It's like a hot potato. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Pass it on to the next one. Quick, pass it on. And so, yes, off it went to Gath. But they didn't like it. So where did they go next? To another big town, Ekron. And the Ekronites weren't too pleased about this. They got wind of it. And they could see people bringing this little box of tricks to their... We don't want it here. We've heard all about this box of tricks. We don't want this. They said to each other. Not good news, having this box of tricks in our place. And the plague started there as well. So it's three places. Oh, they were very quick in their decision making. Took them 7 months. Hang on, that rings a bell. Is anything else taking a long time to make a decision over? Oh, I can't think. Must be something. So this time, they didn't go to the rulers. They called in their wise men. Well, they called them wise men anyway. And their priests. And they said, I know what we're going to do. We're going to test this. We're going to see whether this really is their God at work, or whether it's just a series of coincidences, you know. It's just coincidence that everywhere this box of tricks went, people started being ill. It probably is, but we'll test it out. And their test was this. We're going to build a new cart. We're going to put two cows to pull it. And these cows had never been hitched up to a cart before. And what's more, they've just had their baby calves. And we're going to separate them from their babies. And we're going to turn them towards the Israel border and set them off with the ark and some gifts, because we ought to do something, you know, to please their God. So we give him 5 golden rats and 5 golden tumours. Not sure what golden tumours would have looked like, but it's not the sort of present you buy your wife, put it like that. So, you know, these gifts and the Ark of the Covenant, and we'll see what happens. And so they did it. And do you know what happened? The cows went in a straight line towards the border. You can see Beth Shemesh down there, just on the other side of the border. And the cows just went plod, 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 straight line, completely forgetting about their babies back home. Well, they didn't actually, because we're told they mooed all the way, very loudly. They were not happy, but God was in control. And these five Philistine rulers were walking along behind. Oh, he's going, in the right direction. It must be a god. It must be something about this. Because they shouldn't really be doing this. They should have turned back to look after their own babies. But no. So they knew that God was behind it. So we need the cow picture because it's rather nice. Not that one. Not that one. That one. Do you not like that? Look, can you see the rulers behind the stones there, looking? And there's the cows looking a bit, well, what are they looking? A bit lost, really, aren't they? But they've stopped in the right place, and they arrived in Beth Shemesh just as the people there were reaping the harvest. So if we can have the harvest picture with the hands in the air, John, I'd be grateful if you can find it. That's the one, thank you. And when they lifted up their eyes and saw the ark, they rejoiced to see it. Slightly different cows in that one, but same idea. They were really pleased because the ark of the covenant should never have been sent into battle as a lucky mascot, and it was coming home. So they were really pleased about that. And fortunately, because Beth Shemesh was a special town, it was a place where Levites, their sort of assistant priests, were able to live in large numbers. And so they came out and they knew exactly what to do with the ark. And, you know, you mustn't touch it. You have to carry it on the poles that are along the side. You can only carry it with the poles. If you touch the ark, you will die, God had told them when it was first built. And that did happen a couple of times. And so they took it and they placed it in a special place, and there it stayed. Unfortunately, some of the men of the town thought they'd have a little peek. And so they came up to the ark and thought, wonder what's inside. So they lifted the lid and had a quick peek inside. Do you know what happened to them? They died because they disobeyed God. They knew they shouldn't touch it, but they did. But apart from that, everyone else was really pleased that it was back where it should have been. Well, what can we learn from that story? Well, number one, God is not a lucky charm. Did you know that? God is much bigger than that. He wants us to respond to him, to his love, by obeying him and following his ways and living for him. He's given us a new start by sending Jesus to die for us, for our sins. He's given us his Holy Spirit to live inside us and to help us to follow his way. But he's certainly not casting a magic spell over our lives, as some of these Israelites thought. We're going to go through difficult times, the same as everyone else. And there's one coming up now, it's going through the bagpipe season. I can hear that. We've all got to go through these times together. The difference is, though, that God is going to go through them with us and help us through them. He helps us when we need help. He wants us to trust him in every situation, not to do our own thing, not to trust in lucky this and lucky the other. And if we do trust in him completely with our lives, then we will be blessed. Not by having a nice, easy, rosy, bed of roses life, but by knowing that he's with us through thick and through thin. And that way, we'll grow to love him more, follow him more closely, and learn to rely on him in all circumstances. So that's what we can learn from this story.